I'm glad to be preaching with you today. I'm grateful also that we have two with us, and that two has been planning the sermon series. And I realized when two had asked me to pick a slot for preaching, when I looked at this passage, I didn't really think about the passages that I was signing up to. I simply looked at the title that was Jesus Feeds the Multitudes. And in fact, if you look at it, it's actually about two stories in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, and Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And I don't know about you, but when I was looking at this passage, it dawned on me that it was a lot like playing the game Spot the Difference. You know, my kids, they have these different pictures that they are trying to determine the difference between these different pictures. And of these games, you're supposed to spot the differences that are in these pictures that are very similar. And indeed, these two different stories of feeding of the multitudes. One is about the feeding of 5,000 and the other is about feeding 4,000. And you know, many people debate why there are these two stories and if they are actually the same story if they are the same story, why are they told twice and both within the Gospel of Mark? Now, I actually don't think that question is all that relevant, because the main question really should be what is being told about these two stories. Now, let me read to you these passages, starting with Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Mark 6, 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now that's Mark chapter 6, and then we skip Mark chapter 7, and then in chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, it reads, "During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered, 'But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?' 'How many loaves do you have?' Jesus asked. 7. They replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Okay, now as we think about these two passages, you know, part of our natural inclination is to think about what the differences are in these. And unless you have the two passages in front of you, it's actually quite hard to work this out. Especially, you know, now that many of us will use our phones or whatever, you know, a digital form of the Bible. But for me, I had to actually print this out and put the passages side by side in order to compare them and to see what the differences were in these passages. Now, let me just summarize a few observations I have in terms of the differences of these two passages. The first is the most obvious. It's the numerical differences, right? The number, the differences in numbers. So in Mark chapter 6, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But in Mark chapter 8, we have the 7 loaves, not 5, but 7, and a few small fish. We're not told how many. In Mark chapter 6, we have 5,000 men, whereas in Mark chapter 8, we have 4,000 people. Now, that's actually quite interesting because in the one hand, in Mark 6, it is about 5,000 men. That means there's probably women and children in there too, so it's a much larger number than the 5,000. Needless to say, it's 5,000 men versus 4,000 people. And then in Mark chapter 6, we have the 12 basketfuls of leftovers, whereas in Mark chapter 8, we have 7 baskets of leftovers. And clearly, you know, this shows that that Jesus was the one who invented the notion of the doggy bag. Well before there were Chinese takeaways, Jesus had the doggy bag. Now, a lot of people talk about the significances of these numbers. And, you know, 7, 12, these seem like very significant holy numbers, perhaps. And, you know, there's comparisons of what these numbers are there for and why they're different. And there's all this debate around these numbers. I'm not sure that's actually all that important. Surely the main point here is that God takes from the little, that is the 7 loaves and a few fish, or 5 loaves and 2 fish, and provides in the plenty to feed thousands of people. Not only thousands of people, but to provide not over abundantly, that there's even leftovers, that there's so many leftovers from what God has provided. So from the little, God provides abundantly and overabundantly. But the other thing is, I think it's even more important to think about the context that these two passages are in. Now, we may take, for instance, in Mark chapter 6. Now, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark, we have the disciples in the very beginning of the chapter are being sent out by Jesus. From chapter 6, verse 7 and moving forward, the disciples are sent out 2 by 2 to the villages. They are the apostles that are sent out to do this initial ministry, their first ministry being sent out by Jesus. But then later on in chapter 6, we have the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. And for, you know, you think about the context of these verses in Mark chapter 6. And in verse, you know, in the very beginning of our passage for today, in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, you know, we have this statement where it talks about the disciples coming back. That is, they have come back from their apostolic mission. They've come back from going out and being sent out to the villages to spread the gospel. And so for both the disciples as well as for Jesus, because Jesus was experiencing such exhaustion perhaps from the events with John the Baptist, that for all of them, they needed rest. They needed physical, emotional, and spiritual rest. That's why in verse 31 here, we see Jesus saying, come with me. You know, the disciples, come with me and let us draw alone and we can get some rest together. The context for Mark chapter 8 is slightly different. Firstly, we see in the very first verse that this is a story about another large crowd gathering. In other words, this gathering of crowds is quite a common event, right? I mean, not only, perhaps it is not only in Mark chapter 6 that we have the only other story of the multitude gathering. Maybe there are other stories of multitudes gathering and needing to be fed. Suffice it to say that in this passage here in Mark chapter 8, we see the narration of another large crowd gathering. That this has become commonplace of the multitude who have gathered and often needing to be fed. But I think that when we look at these passages in the broader context, For Mark chapter 6, you know, with the Mark chapter 6 is really set in the region of Galilee. And so it is largely perhaps Jews that Jesus and the disciples are interacting with, and the crowd that is met in Mark chapter 6 is likely going to be Jews. But in Mark chapter 8, we have a very different setting, because the passage just before in Mark chapter 7, we see the ministry of Jesus north of Galilee, in Tyre and Sidon and amongst the Syrophoenician women. And likely, Jesus' ministry in chapter 7 and moving into chapter 8 is amongst the Gentiles. We get this picture even more strongly as we move beyond our passage in chapter 8, verse 11 and following, where the Jews, as represented by the Pharisees, reject Jesus' ministry and demand for signs and miracles to prove that indeed he is who he says he is. So in some ways you have in Mark chapter 6 a ministry of feeding to the Jews, and in Mark chapter 8 a ministry feeding to the Gentiles. But I think what's even more important is in a single word and in these single verses within Mark 6 and Mark 8. That is this word of compassion. We see them, this word compassion, in both these passages. And this idea of compassion is this deep-seated emotion, something that comes from the kind of like the bowels of who you are, the inner emotion that comes out of a person. And this word compassion is used for Jesus for the people in his midst. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, he, Jesus, had compassion on them, on the crowd, because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And it goes on and it talks about how he begins to teach them. Whereas in Mark chapter 8, in verse 2, the phrase is, I have compassion. Jesus has compassion for these people. And they have been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. In other words, for this latter group, it is clear that the compassion is related to how these people have been with Jesus for all this time, but have had nothing to eat. Whereas for Mark chapter 6, the emphasis is on the spiritual feeding that is needed. So on the one hand, it's the material feeding. On the other hand, it's the spiritual feeding that is needed. And I think it's really interesting because many people think about this passage of the feeding of the multitudes, and you know, it's a very a strong demonstration of the material, the physical sustenance, right? Feeding of people, of all these people with all this bread and fish, right? And actually, there's some theologians that emphasize really that it's about, you know, that what Jesus is doing, especially in the Gospel of Mark, with this crowd of people, is that this crowd is being met by all their physical need, that they are maybe even the impoverished or oppressed within society, and they need to be liberated, and they need to be given all these physical and material sustenance. But I think when we look at these two passages side by side, we notice that Jesus's compassion is both one for the spiritual needs, the spiritual sustenance, as well as, on the second hand, the physical, the material sustenance as well. That both of these are aspects of Jesus's ministry, that he is trying to extend. He has a compassion for the crowd, both for their spiritual needs as well as for their physical needs. And really, this when we look at these passages side by side, we see many differences, but indeed we see the same Jesus. You know, when we look at these two passages, these two feedings, you know, it's easy for us in hindsight to say, well, you know, these disciples, they're quite clumsy, right? They don't really know what's going on, and they're kind of clueless on this. That the disciples need to take time and figure out what's going on. But, you know, but I think that it's, if we think about it and not in hindsight, and we think about ourselves, you know, there's so many times in our lives that we are really fall short of the expectations of God. We fall short. We are not living up to the lives that Jesus demands of us. And time and time again, God reveals to us the ways in which we are to live, and yet it is so hard for us to remember and to follow after these things. And in fact, you know, another thing that's worth noting is that in both of these events, Jesus continues to have compassion on the crowd. He has compassion on the people that are in his midst. But the disciples, they don't have the same compassion, right? Because in both instances, Jesus says, well, you should feed them. And the disciples are like, can we just send them away? Because we can't afford this, and there's too many of them, and, you know, we don't have time, and I'm tired, you know. Can we just send them away, right? And I think, you know, it really goes to show that for us, our compassion is not enough. That very oftentimes, you know, we may know what is right to do. We may know how to have compassion on people, but we just don't do it. We don't have the energy. We cannot see the means to do it. And you know, I you know, just this week, in fact, I was going to work, and I was walking, you know, to work into town, going through town, and then about to go up the mountain. You know, there was this person on the street corner who was you know, asking for money or whatever, and I didn't really think, and I was in a rush, so I was just rushing and kept walking, and then I was halfway up the mountain, and it hit me, it's like, oh, do I have compassion on this person? Is this do I have the compassion that Jesus has for this person? And of course, I already had moved on, and I had already rushed beyond this, and it was really much later that I came to this realization. But so much it reminds us, like the disciples, our compassion, the deep-seated emotion within us, is not enough. That we also need God's compassion within us. We need to have the compassion that God has for us, for his people. And in fact, this really leads to this overarching theme that the church has this year in terms of mission. And you know, oftentimes when we think about mission, it's about sharing the gospel and very actively in the words we say about you know, telling people about Jesus and his works and so forth. And it's about this spiritual feeding. But really, what we see here in the ministry of Jesus is that it is not only about the spiritual, but it is also about the material, the physical. That it is oftentimes the physical or the material or the emotional or, you know, other things in people's lives that hinders them from meeting the spiritual, from meeting God. And so for Jesus, for the ministry of Jesus is a more all-encompassing ministry, is an all-encompassing mission. That it is one that encapsulates the spiritual and the material, the physical and the emotional and all these different things. And it is not about our ministry and our mission, because even that is something that is not fully the same as the compassion and the love that God has. That we need to be constantly turned towards God's ministry and God's mission. And indeed, it is through the life of Jesus that we are reminded of how the many differences in contexts in our lives highlight the different facets of this same Jesus.